Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Thank you, Matt and Grace, for having me here today. I'm super excited to be with you guys. My name is Ashton Fish. I'm the Next Gen Director. I've been working for SoCal District. That's a district of about 150 churches in the SoCal area, and I get to serve kids, youth, and young adults. So all the camps that the students get to go to, actually Sarah was helping out with Kids Campus this last year. Thank you, Sarah, you're amazing. We get to run those camps, and so I've had the privilege for 6 years for doing that. My wife, Tori, is here today. We've been married for 3.5 years. I don't know why I'm in the high-fiving mood. Thank you for marrying me. I guess I'm down here, but it's been an amazing journey with you, and I'm so thankful that you're here with me today. I get to serve, like I said, at camp, and I just wanted to start off and share one of the coolest camp stories, because I really believe that God moves in at camp, and I don't know if you guys are going to camp this year, if it's winter or summer, but I want to show you one of the craziest, cool stories, because God moves in kids' lives. I'm telling you this, if you want to learn how to worship, see kids worship. Go up to camp and see their full hearts just worshiping God, crying out to God. In fact, I remember in a camp, a kids' camp, this was a few years ago, there was a little kid that was in the front row on his knees worshiping. And as he was worshiping, 30 minutes went by from the last time worship ended in the sanctuary. So like no music's on, everybody had left the room, and somebody comes up to me like, you're the Next Gen Director, tell this kid to stop worshiping and go to the field and play games. And I'm like, this seems wrong. You know what I mean? Like, what, like this is why we're at camp, for people to worship, right? And so I'm like, okay, I'll go up there and talk to him. They're like, no one's, he's like in a trance. He's like, he's worshiping. You need to help. Gosh, I go up there. So I go up next to him and I'm like, dude, you know, what's going on? He's just, I'm worshiping. I'm like, oh, cool. Well, what's your name? He's like, my name's Jonathan. I'm like, well, awesome. Jonathan, how old are you? He's like, I'm 11 years old. I was like, awesome. Okay, cool. Well, what's going on? Why are you up here still worshiping? The worship team's gone. Your leaders are out of here. And he goes, because the angels are above me right now. Do you see them? And I'm like, I look up and I'm like, I don't see angels. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, boy, what's going on? He's like, no, they're saying holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And he starts quoting more out of Isaiah. And I'm just like dumbfounded at this point. And I'm like going, okay, God, like something's happening here. Have you ever been there before? Something's happening here that I'm not aware of. There's something greater happening here. And I can even argue right now, there's something greater happening while we're in this room right now. There's a cloud of witnesses that's here. God's presence is here. And so at that moment, I immediately got on my knees next to him. And I'm like, okay. And I'm starting to worship. And then we just start worshiping together. And I'm like, I'm just freaking out. He's like giving all these words. People are coming up and worshiping. And I'm like, here's this 11-year-old kid leading us, right?
Yeah.
While all the adults were focused on our schedule and getting outside and making sure the kids, here's this kid leading us.
So good.
Send your kid to camp.
Yes.
But here's the craziest part of the story is that he goes, Ashton, one of the angels has a message for you. And if you guys know, the word angel means messenger, right? That's what the actual word means. And so every time you see an angel, they're giving a message. You know, you look throughout the Bible and their central message always is don't be afraid, right? Because people freak out. Like I was afraid. I was like, God's doing something. You know, what is the angel going to say? You know, and so I'm like, sure, you know, tell me, what's the angel saying to me, right? You know, now I'm here. I'm like, minister to me, 11-year-old boy. Like I need it. And he goes, hey, I just, is your dad's name Rob? And I said, yeah. He goes, I want you to know that your dad is okay. 6 months earlier, my dad had died from cancer. And I was at camp trying to be the big leader, trying to run everything. But on the inside, my faith was going through the hardest time of my life. And it was in that moment that God began to speak to me. Man, send your kid to camp. But as I say that, and I understand that every time that we come and we meet, wherever two or three are gathered, it says that he is in our midst, that the Holy Spirit through me wants to speak to you today. And so would we come together right now just knowing that we are in a moment to encounter God. And I love that the first thing up there says encounter God. And that's what my prayer is for all of us today, that we would encounter God strong this year. Can we just pray and begin that way? God, we thank you that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And Holy Spirit, right now, would you begin to speak even just in a crazy way to every single person's heart that's in this room? God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. God, would you move in power? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So I'm going to be speaking on obedience. It was funny. I was talking to Pastor Matt and I was like, hey, I have this sermon that I, you know, have together and it's going good. But then I also have this obedience sermon. And he's like, dude, honestly, preach on whatever you want. And then I was like, well, it's on obedience. So I better be obedient and preach the sermon on obedience. And so I want to talk about obedience today. And I've just defined obedience in a simple way, delayed gratification, delayed gratification. If I could just say, what is obedience? Just really simply, it's delayed gratification. In a world that's instant, it's really hard for us to be obedient. Yeah. And I think most of the problems that we see in our world today is because people just aren't obedient. They're not obedient to God. They're not obedient to the law. They're not obedient to the covenants they've made with their families. And I want to talk about the importance of obedience today. Actually, my boss told me this fact, and actually last night I checked the math. Did you know that at the age of 20, if you didn't buy a new car and you just put that payment away, you'd be a millionaire by 65.
Oh, dang.
You'd be a millionaire by 65 if you never bought a car and had a payment of $300 a month. 7% interest over 45 years, you'd be a millionaire at 65. But isn't that crazy? Yeah, some people are like, too late, I'm not 20 anymore. Right? But isn't it, like in our society, we're all about having things instantly, right? We're not thinking ahead. And I think that this is one of the things that God wants to speak to us. And even I'm taking this one home for me today too, saying, God, what do I need to be obedient to you in 2019? What are the things that you've spoken to me that I'm still stuck at, that I'm not being obedient to? And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would speak that to your heart. Obedience is hard. Obedience really goes hand in hand with stepping out in faith. I remember one time I was at Starbucks because Starbucks is either like one of the three places pastors start their stories, right? It's like Starbucks, somewhere traveling, or like in an airport or something. Anyway, so I was in a Starbucks and I'm leading a Bible study and it's going awesome. Tori was there. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm all zealous. I'm with people. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's like, go follow that lady. Like totally being weird, right? You go follow that lady and go tell her that I love her. And like, I'm literally in the middle of teaching the Bible study and I like jump up and I run over to this lady and everybody's like, what's Ashton doing, right? And I run over to this lady and I open the Jamba Juice store and I'm like, hey, I know this is really weird, but Jesus loves you. And I'm expecting like her just to be like, oh yes, like lead me to Jesus, right? You know, I'm like, I'm being obedient. I'm stepping on faith. She literally goes, F you, and slams the door in my face. The best part was, is that all the other people just saw that experience. So I'm in, and again, the fearless youth pastor leading the Bible study, and I come back and everybody's like, man, Ashton, what happened? Like, I guess you don't hear God, right? You know, that's always the best as a youth pastor. Like, yeah, you must've been way off. And I was like really battling with that. Cause I was like, God, like, I mean, has that ever happened to you before? Like God told you to do something and like you just did it and it didn't work out the way that you thought it was going to work out.
Yeah.
And like you're doubting yourself and you're like, God, like, why did I do that? Why did I look like a fool at Jamba Juice? Like my students don't even believe I hear you anymore. Like, God, why? You know what I mean? Like, and I was struggling with that. And then God spoke something to my heart. He said, Ashton, obedience is more about you just stepping out in faith than the outcome that you want.
Yeah.
Obedience is more about stepping out in faith, not looking good in front of other people, not wanting your this you know wonderful outcome that you think is going to happen. No, it was God testing me. It was God testing me. And that's what God wants to do to you. He wants to test you today. He wants to see if you are found obedient. I want to go to our scripture this morning. We're going to look at the life of Abram. And it's in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. This will be kind of our place that we're going to land for our sermon today. It's Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. There's a story that's gonna go along with Abraham's story of an amazing woman of God that I wanna tell you. Evelyn Brand, I want to show you guys. She was an amazing woman of obedience. She was born in the late 1800s, and she was called to go to India as a missionary. And you have to understand that a woman being called to India at this time was a huge step of faith in this time of the world for her to go to India. She married her husband, Jesse, and in 1919, they felt a call to go. They began a ministry to the people in rural India, bringing education, medical supplies, and building roads to reduce the isolation to the poor. early in their ministry, they didn't have a single convert for 7 years. They served faithfully every day in a rural countryside of India, no running water, and they served for 7 years without a convert. But here's the turning point. But a priest of a local tribal religion developed a fever and was growing deathly ill. Nobody else would go around this priest that was the leading religion of the time, except for Evelyn and Jesse. Evelyn and Jesse nurtured this man as he was dying. They were the only people that were holding on to him and helping him. And he says this, that God must truly be with Evelyn and Jesse because they care for me even in my dying. And that was a turning point of their ministry. They had an amazing ministry after that. And then people started saying, well, maybe we need to reevaluate Jesus and the Gospels. And they started, that was the kind of their inroad. And people started coming to the faith. Evelyn and Jesse had 13 years of productive service. And then Jesse, her husband, died on the missions field. By this time, Evelyn was 50 years old and everyone expected her to return to her home in England. She was known as Granny Brand. Her son, Paul, came over and when she was 7 years old, and he said this about his mom. I love this quote. This is how to grow old. Allow everything else to fall away until those around you only see love. Granny Brand obeyed God. She lived a life of complete obedience, going out and stepping out in faith. And I love looking at her life, and we're going to look at her life in a little bit more. But that's the kind of obedience that I believe God calls us to, just to step out completely in faith, not knowing the outcome, but trusting that he's going to work. The first point that I have for you this morning is this: obey the imperative verb. The imperative verb in this phrase is the word go. Genesis 12:1, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you. Here's the truth. We would not even know anything about Abraham without this one verb, this one verse, this one word, go. You need to go. You need to go. And if you don't go, we wouldn't hear about Abraham, right? It's kind of like, you know, hey, we're going to go to Disneyland, but make sure to buy your ticket before you get in, right? That's kind of imperative, or else you're going to be sitting there at the ticket office and people are going to be like, you're crazy. You don't have a ticket. You can't come in, right? You have to buy a ticket before you get in. It's imperative. You have to do this. And this is what Abraham had to do. He had to go. He had to leave and step out in faith. Then it says this in the scripture, there's five I wills. I will show you, I will bless you, I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. But all of that blessing, all of that promise doesn't happen unless he obeys the imperative verb, which is to go. See, this is a lot of us in life. We're claiming the promises of God. God's gonna show me. God's gonna bless me. God's gonna curse those who curse me. Bless those who bless me. God's gonna make a way. But we're not obeying the imperative verb. We're not going and we're not stepping out in faith. But we're expecting the blessing. And I've been there so many times in my life. God, I'm expecting the blessing, but I'm not willing to go. I'm not willing to obey the imperative verb. Something really cool about this passage also is this, is that it talks about this in verse 3. All the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Do you know that God's promises and God's blessing for you isn't just for you? But God's true blessing is meant to overflow and be an extension of his love to the world.
Yeah.
We can't be hoarders of God's promises and blessings in the church. And I feel like that's at least what I've grown up in a lot of Christianity. People are wanting to hold in their Christianity. They're wanting to hold in their blessing. No, we're supposed to be an extension of God's love and grace to the world. In fact, the actual word for bless or blessing is an extended hand. It isn't holding on to something. Holding on to the blessing and promise of God. Like, oh, no one else can have it. It's just mine. You know, my precious, right? No, it's not that. It's more than that. It's extending your hand saying, God, you've blessed me so I can be a blessing. And that's what is happening in Abraham's life. And that's even in this text, is all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. And also reminds us in the church today, it's not just about North America. All the people of the earth are supposed to be blessed through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're a global church, we're a global movement, and that's what's awesome about being a part of Foursquare. We get to hear people speak in Farsi before I come up here and preach, so good job over there. See, there might be some other imperative verbs for you. I just wanna say, maybe for you it's not go. Right now you're not hearing God say, go to India, right? And I realize that like in sermons like this and when people are preaching on Abram and his story, some people are like, well, I'm not called to be a missionary. Like for me, like for sure, I know that God hasn't called me to be a missionary. Why? Because I'm a picky eater and I die in the first month, right? You know what I mean? Like, and as I say that right now, maybe God's calling me. I don't know, but that's one thing. I've never felt called to the missions field, and some of you don't feel that. And so this isn't a sermon just on the missions field. This is a sermon just saying, would you be obedient?
Yeah.
Would you obey the step that God has told you. Here's some imperative verbs that might be for you right now. This one of these might be for you. And maybe in their notes, write down the one as I'm saying this that is sticking out. And maybe there's even something else that God has spoken to you, an imperative verb, something you have to do first before everything else. And you can write that in your notes. Obviously, the first one, go and step out in faith, right? That's the first one. Stand your ground. Personally, I'll just let you know that that's mine right now. God is saying, Ashton, for me personally, this is mine. Ashton, just stand your ground. Where I've placed you is where I have you.
Come on.
I know that there's stuff around you. I know that there's hardships around you, but I'm calling you to stand your ground.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Don't give up on the promise I have for you. Stand your ground. That's my personal one in this season. And this kind of goes with it. Prepare for what is to come. Maybe you're in a prepping season, right? God is saying, hey, I'm equipping you. I'm preparing you. I was just talking to Deb earlier from here in the church, and she's going to SoCal U, and not saying this is just your imperative verb, but I think this is one of them. God is saying, I'm prepping you for something greater in your life. Wait for my next instructions. That's a really hard one, right? Wait for my next instructions. Maybe God's saying you to wait. I love this one, and this is something that we don't know how to do in North America. Why don't you do this one? Lie down and rest. It's your season that you don't have to be running every ministry in the church and going to every party and going to everything. And guess what? God loves you beyond what you do. He loves you for who you are. So why don't you just lie down and rest? And can we not guilt trip people for not volunteering in church? Can we just say, oh, awesome, you're in a resting season. Now, if you're in a resting season for like 10 years, maybe let your pastors pastor you out of that resting season, you know? But there is a time for us that we can just lay down and rest. And that's actually a commandment of God to us. This is a big one. Maybe you're here and you had a rough 2018 and you doubted and you struggled. Welcome to the club. And you need to return to God. There's something in your life right now you need to return. Before anything else can move forward in your life, you're going to be going in the same circle and cycle until you return to God. The next one is this: fight for the promises I have given you. Maybe it's this one, give up your addiction. Before you can move forward, you have to give up your addiction. Maybe it's this one, let go of fear. Stop holding on to unforgiveness. Rid yourself of compromise and sin. How about this one? Rejoice in all things. Even if it's hard, right now you need to rejoice in all things. And one of the ones here that's, I think, for hard for all of us, be content with what you have. Right now in this season, I just want you to be content with what I've given you and enjoy. Man, can we just enjoy sometimes what God has poured into our lives, right? There's some seasons that let's just be content with what God has given us. I want to tell you too, obedience isn't bargaining with God. This is a common one that I've done in my life, but we bargain with God. Well, God, if I'm really good and I do the whole week of prayer and fasting, then you will bring me my dream home, right? This is like kind of a deal we make with God. We try to bargain with God. You know, God, I'll do this and I'll be super obedient and I'll follow your word and I'll do my devotional and I'll pray a lot and like I'll give my pastors lots of gifts and stuff. And then God, you'll bless me,
yeah.
Right? No, it's not a bargaining thing. Like obedience is just about faith. You can't earn it. You can't, there's no way that you can be better than anybody else or deserve something. Thank God through Jesus, it's all grace, right? So I don't want you to get confused that I'm saying, oh, you know, we have to do all these things and be super obedient so that God can bless us. No, I'm saying because out of our love and relationship and faith in Jesus, out of that comes blessing. And out only things motivated by love can bring things of love in your life and things that are true. But if you're bargaining, if you're making a deal, if you're scheming, if you're living a double life, it's not gonna translate, right? And who else has learned that the hard way besides me here in this room? Stop bargaining with God, just be obedient. We see in Genesis 22, 17 and 18, there's a couple of verses here on the three. I'm gonna go over those. So if you wanna flip your Bible to those places or look in your app on your phone, you can go to Genesis 22, 17, and then we'll go to Hebrews and Philippians. Genesis 22, 17 and 18 says this: I will surely bless you. And God is talking about Abraham here. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you have what? Obeyed me. It's all streaming on the imperative verb that you must go and you must obey me. My second point is this: obey God's facts over your feelings. Obey God's facts over your feelings. For me, I'll be honest with you, when I was growing up, I really struggled with expressing myself. I'm not a dancer. I don't know if there's any people that are gifted with dancing in this room, but I'm like the guy at a wedding when dancing happens, I like slowly go back, you know what I mean? And like recluse into a corner and my wife is super sad because she wants to dance, right? Anyway, so and then I go up and I dance because that's what us men do to love our wives. Anyway, so I don't like to dance and that's something that I struggle with. And even that translates to my worship sometimes. I know it's might be, you know, up here, you're like, oh, he's the worship leader. Like he probably loves to sing and dance and lift up his hands and be exuberant in his worship. No, I don't. That's not something that I like to do. I don't like to do that. I don't know if anybody else relates to that in the room. It's hard for you to express yourself in physical things. Or maybe I'm just in a Pentecostal church. Everybody's like, this guy's crazy. And I remember when I was 20, I had a pastor. We were worshiping in a small group. And here's the thing, why I love small groups and why I love getting in small groups is you can't get away. People are going to see you for who you really are. That's why I'm always a little bit weirded out when someone's like, I can't attend your small group. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, no, you need to attend your small group. You need to like hang out and have community with people. But I was there and he was noticing that like, I was kind of like just sitting here and I'm down the dumps and everybody's worshiping and praising God. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, God, I'm just trusting you. It's a hard season. I'm sitting here and he stops in front of everybody. He goes, Ashton, why aren't you worshiping? I was like, honestly, I just don't like to lift my hands very much. That's just not something I don't feel comfortable with that. Or I'm having a hard week. I don't feel like it. And he stopped the whole room. And I learned a lesson that day. And I hope you can learn this lesson too. What he said, Ashton, often your obedient actions have to go in front of your feelings. Right now, raise up your hands. And it like made me do it in front of everybody. And I was like, this is really awkward. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna raise my hand. I'm gonna listen to my pastor. And he raised my hand. And he goes, Ashton, now just begin to praise God. And I began to praise God. And something began to break inside of me. Yeah. That my feelings of being down in the dumps, my feelings of not wanting to be exuberant in my worship, when I was obedient and I led with my actions and let my feelings catch up, God did something in me. Wow. And there's people here in this room right now that you're so down in the dumps and you're letting your feelings dominate your life. It's all about your feelings. And here's, I want to say just a disclaimer. God is about feelings, right? God did give us feelings. I'm not saying feelings are bad things, right? Feelings are wonderful things. Emotions were given by God. And I think we need to listen to some of our feelings. Like, hey, like I'm the first one to say, hey, if you need to go see a counselor, there's no shame in that, right? Go work with your feelings. If you have some depression, anxiety, a lot of people do. Go get some help. My wife just graduated her psychology degree. So we believe in that. You know, we believe that God uses psychology and medicine in Jesus' name, right? But often, a lot of us, we're sitting here in our feelings and we're letting our feelings dictate how we live our lives and how we worship God. And some of you here in this 2019, you just need to say, you know what? I'm just going to stand up and lift up my hands. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to give him glory because you know what? All of my feelings bow down to my obedience to God. Yes. And I think that is a key to what Abraham had to do. Listen to some facts about Abraham's life. Abraham and Sarai left at the young age of 75 years old from Haran. 75 years old. They were established people, right? They had, their whole families were all together. They lived in a very communal society, right? Everybody lived with each other. And we also know that Abraham had some wealth because he left with some stuff. So he lived in a really, really probably wealthy family. Abraham had it made. He was doing really good in life. And then all of a sudden God says to him, hey, you got to go. I'm going to bless you, but you got to go. They were established, they were wealthy, they were comfortable. And then God asked them, would you move for me for several years? We just went through a move recently. And who's here gone through a move in the last 5 years? Just raise your hand if you've gone through a move in 5 years. Who knows that it really, really stinks to move. Like there's almost nothing worse than I feel like moving, like Tori and I's relationship was challenged in that move. Like, I love you, sorry for being a jerk. Okay, anyways, you know what I mean? Like, but it was like during moving, like that's when the worst things can come out. And can you imagine God saying, hey, yeah, I want you guys to move for several years. I want you to be nomads. I want you to walk around and build tents. Imagine, guys, how happy your wife would feel about that. Yeah, babe, God spoke to me. And we need to leave, but we don't know where. And yeah, we don't have a home or anything. So let's get the tent, the Coleman, and we're just going to start going. And we're just going to like trust God. And he's going to lead us into the inheritance that he has for us. I'm just telling you right now, their feelings were not matching up to what God was saying. Yeah. We can almost definitely know that they did not want to leave. Come on, Ashley. They were comfortable. Everything was there. Their future was there. They're in retirement years. Yeah. They're going, we're good at this point. We've established everything. But God told them to go. God told them to go. My second point is this. Hear, listen, and answer to God's words over any other words. Hear, listen, and answer to God's words over any other words. When Abraham got that word to go, he got that promise that God would bless him. This was the cycle that he went through. And I think that this is the cycle that we all go through in life. It's this: we get a promise. Who's gotten some promises from God, right? And if you don't got a promise from God, let's pray for you after service and we'll get you some promises from God. Promise, it led to some excitement. Okay, we're gonna move. Then led to waiting, then went to doubting, then went to testing, then went to refining, then went to reinforcement, and eventually fulfillment. It's this long process. And that's why I was saying here, hear, listen, and answer to God's words over any other words. We have to constantly, every single day, respond to God's word.
Yeah.
Often we think, okay, I responded to God's word. I did what he said. I left today. And you know, I'm serving God. No, but the next day you need to hear, you need to listen, and then you need to respond saying, God, I'm gonna obey you again today.
Yeah.
In this new year, all of us, we have to come to a place of saying, God, am I gonna follow you in 2019?
Right.
Am I gonna obey you in 2019? The things that you've spoken to my heart, am I actually gonna live those out in 2019? We can't bank on 2018 obedience. We have to have obedience that's fresh every single day.
Yeah.
And this is where I found in my life where I get in the most trouble is I think, oh man, I've been doing really good and everything's been good. I've been obedient to God. And that's when I fail, right? That's when I crash and burn. It's in the times when I need to say, God, no, I need to respond to you every day
that's
with
right.
obedience. Jesus, I'm following you today. I'm not following this. I'm not following my emotions or my feelings. I'm following your word to me today. What's interesting about this part of the story, and I wanted to bring in at this point, was that also we know in the story that Sarah was barren, right? And we know that God promised them a family. And this is what I think is really, really interesting, why this is so key to the story, is that God has promises them a family. They're already 75, right? The ship has sailed for Sarai. There's no way that she can have kids physically. And they're believing in this promise, but yet, through their journey, you'll notice, and we don't have time to go through their whole journey, but through their journey, you'll notice so many times that Abraham's tested with his obedience. Who is your sister? Or who is that lady? Oh, she's my half-sister, right? Talking about Sarah. Right, he lies to the Egyptians. Right, he's tested with his obedience. And then Ishmael comes along, his son, right, that was born out of wedlock. He's tested. God gave him a word. And see, what's comforting for me is when I look at Abraham's life, like often people look at Abraham like, it's Father Abraham, right, had many sons. And we're like, yeah, Father Abraham was so obedient. Abraham was so awesome. But he was so screwed up.
Yeah.
Like he really didn't obey God. Like he let other words, he let other things come in the place of God's word. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of like the misery club. Anybody else here, you're like, yes, God, I've been there too. Like, I'm in the misery club. I've totally not listened to you. I've let other words affect me. But I believe that God has spoken words into people here today. And this is where I wanted to get really intentional. This is what the Holy Spirit said. There's a lot of people in this room that you have barren words from God. They've been barren. That God had given you words long time ago, decades ago, but you've forgotten about that word. And I feel like in this moment, I want to pray for you and have a moment, even just, I'm just being obedient. I believe that God wants to pour back faith in you to believe the promise that he first spoke to you. That God is faithful, that he's going to carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That if he said it, he meant it today. And yeah, it might be a hard time and you might be tested and you may have gone through some lies and some mess ups and some Ishmaels in your life, but God is saying, I'm even greater than your mistakes. My grace is greater than your mistakes today. If you would just choose to stand up and believe in my promises again, that no other word would be above my word and my promise to you, that I will make your name great, that I will show you where to go, that I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, that I will make a way. And this morning, you know who you are. And if that's you, can we just bow our heads and just have a moment with the Lord? If that's you saying, hey, Ashton, that's me. I have some promises that maybe I've lost hope in, that I've doubted in, that I've made some mistakes in. And then I even believe that the Holy Spirit saying this, that you feel like you've disqualified yourself from the promises of God. Can I tell you that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable? That nothing you can do can take away the promise in the word of God. You're not that powerful. Stop giving that power away and give it back to God, saying, God, you can fulfill the word.
Yeah.
If that's you this morning, would you just stand up saying, I have a promise. There's something inside of me. I just want an act of faith in this moment. I'm standing with you. I know I'm already standing. But if you're saying, hey, I have a promise. I have a word from God that has been barren, that has been on the outside. I just believe that God, in this moment, that the Holy Spirit wants to begin to awaken that word inside of your heart right now. And if you would just stand in faith, if you would just say, hey, God, I'm not just going to be here as just an attender of a service, but I'm going to participate in what you're doing, Holy Spirit, in this moment. That there's a word that you've given me, and I may have let it go, but I'm saying in this moment, I stand on the word of God. Amen. I trust the word of God, that when God said it, he meant it, and that God is faithful to carry it on to completion. And so God, right now, for all of your children who are standing up right now, who have been through so many trials, and God, I feel the emotion of just wanting to weep right now over all of the pain that they've gone through, all of the times, God, that they've gotten the wrong news. God, we pray that faith would rise in this room right now in the name of Jesus, and that God, that you would restore the words that you have said inside of their hearts. God, we pray that they would guard their hearts, like it says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, that they would guard your word in their hearts, and that God, thank you that you're a miraculous, that you do things above and beyond. And so God, would you put miracles, God, as they've responded today, as they've stood today, God, that you would stand with them today and say, I'm with you and I'm walking with you and I love you and my word will come into fruition.
Thank you.
Because it's on my name. It's not anything you've done, but because of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we clap and give it up for God real quick? Come on. Evelyn Brand. The story was she was 70 years old at the last part that we were at. I want to finish the story. Towards the end of her life, everyone called her Granny Brand. She'd spent her life in India, including 20 years of widowhood. And at the age of 70, she received word from her home missions office in England. They weren't going to give her another five-year term, so she would have to head home at 70. They said it was simply because she was just too old. So a party was held when she was 7 years old in India. Her whole family came. And everybody was cheering her on and saying, Granny Brand, have a good trip back home. You know, you did a good job. You ran the race. You did what God told you to do. But now it's time to come home, right? All these other people encourage her. And, you know, you get it. I mean, if my mom was 70 and still in India with no hot water, you know, I would probably go, Mom, it's time to come home to England, right? So I can see what they were saying this. But she said, I'll tell you a secret. She announced at her party, her going away party, I'm not going back home. I am staying in India. So can you imagine everybody comes to this party to like take their mom home, all the kids, and she literally makes an announcement at the party, I'm not leaving. Evelyn had a little shack built with some resources that she smuggled in. Man, old ladies are savage. Anyway, so sorry. then she bought a pony to get around the mountains. And she would go horseback from village to village telling people about Jesus. One day at 75, so she did that on a pony for 5 years. One day at 75 years old, she fell off and broke her hip. Her son, Paul Brand, and he was a successful doctor at the time, said to her, Mom, you had a great run. God used you. It's time to turn it over now. You got to go back home. This is what she said at 75. I'm not going back home, she said. God gave me this mountain. She spent another 18 years traveling from village to village on horseback, falls, concussions, sickness, and aging could not stop her. Sorry, I get emotional every time I read this story. Finally, when she hit 93 years old, she could not ride on horseback anymore. So she requested to be put on a stretcher and carried from one village to another.
Amen.
She lived two more years and gave those years as a gift, carried on a stretcher to help the poorest of the poor. She died. But she never retired. See, the story of Granny Brand's obedience just knocks me in the heart because I feel like so many times in my life, and I'm just being real with you, I don't have that kind of obedience. I take the comfortable way out. I look for the status. I look for the money. I look for the success. I'm just being real with you. But when I hear that story, it inspires something inside of me to say, you know, God, I want to be that obedient to you. That no matter what is happening, I trust you with the outcome. That God, yeah, maybe I can achieve this with my little hands, but imagine what God can do with his great hands in your life. If you're just obedient, if you just step out and go. Her story, Granny Brand didn't die a millionaire in a beautiful retirement community at the beach. No, she died obeying God to her last breath. She didn't escape or leave when it got hard. She became like the people she was trying to save. She lived in a shack and lived among people that were dying and less fortunate. I can't help but see the life of Jesus and Evelyn Brand. I'm going to end with this verse, Philippians 2, 6 through 8. And this is talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found as an appearance as a man. He humbled himself, and look at the key word in here, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I love this verse because it talks about how Jesus followed an example that we all need to follow. He was obedient even to the point of dying on a cross so that we could have all a relationship with God, delayed gratification. That Jesus himself was willing to put himself aside. He was willing to lower himself to being a man, to be with us. The fullness of God's blessing can't be fulfilled until you're painfully obedient. I'm gonna say that one more time. The fullness of God's blessing cannot be fulfilled in you until you're painfully obedient, even like Jesus, obedient even to death on the cross, the hard things. If you look at Evelyn Brand's life, right, all the hard things, the falls, the discouragement, all the words that people told her that she was wrong, that she should have left. You look at the life of Abraham, all the things that he left behind, that he was secure, he was happy, everything was good, but he decided to trust God. He decided to painfully obey God. So my question to you today is, are you being obedient to God? What was the last thing that God told you to do? And to be specific, what's the last imperative verb, the last action that God has told you to do? Are you being obedient to that? Have you stepped out in faith in that yet? Are you trusting the word of God more than anything else in your life, including your feelings? And are you aligning to God's word and promise in your life? Here's what I've learned with my relationship with God. And I'm 30 and I still have a lot to learn. But I've learned this, that often I want to be way up there and God is telling me to make the simple obedient step right here. That so often I'm wanting to go up there and I want all these amazing things and this is all the things that I have a plan that, you know, God has promised me about, but I'm not willing to make this little step right here that God is calling me to do. And today I really believe all it takes is one little step of obedience. Amen. It's not like crazy rocket science. It's like, oh man, I'm going to really get there. No, it's one little step every single day saying, God, I'm going to obey you. God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'm going to trust your word. God, I know that you're faithful. God, I know that you hear me. God, I know that you have a plan. God, I know that you're going to make everything work out in this situation. I'm going to obey you and I'm going to trust you today. So with that said, could you just bow your heads and close your eyes with me? In this time, I wanted us just to wait on the Lord for a minute. We're going to sing a song to close out. But before that, I just wanted to step out in obedience this morning. If you're here and there was a few imperative verbs that I talked about, you know, like waiting on God or standing or going out. But there was one of those imperative verbs that was there is return to me. And I felt like in this time, there's some people here in this room that you have not returned to God, that you've maybe struggled with some of the things that God has promised you or struggled in your faith or struggled with the church. But I wanna give you an opportunity right now to step out and say, you know what, no God, I'm gonna trust you today. I'm gonna obey you today more than any other thing. That Jesus, that you became even obedient to death on the cross so that I could have new life. And obedience is painful, but in that pain, new life is born. And so this morning, if that's you, if you're saying, hey, I want to return to God, I feel distant from God. Again, I have some hangups because of church, or I have some hangups because of some things that haven't happened the way that I thought. But this morning, I'm willing to put all that aside and say, you know what, God, nothing is more important than me being obedient to you, than me being in right relationship with you. If that's you this morning, would you just raise up your hand? If you're just saying, hey, I want to return to the Lord. I just see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 hands. If anybody else here, you're just saying, it's just an act of faith. It's not really even me in this moment. It's just your heart saying, God, I'm making that first step. I'm saying, God, I want to be obedient to you today. I'm going to return to you today. God, I just pray for these hands right now. Lord, that all of the shame and guilt Even when you came here in here this morning not being sure or confident because of your doubt or your fear or your sin, God, I just pray that you would cleanse these hands right now in the name of Jesus. And that, God, that they would return to you. And like your word says, God, that you would return to them fully. And that, God, that you would begin to renew their hearts and their lives. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for your mercy today on their lives. That, God, your grace is so much bigger than their past. And so right now, God, would you help them stand in obedience today? Would you help them walk in obedience today? Would you help them, God, to step out in obedience and to trust you? And that 2019 would be a year aligned with you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.